of the Easter season, that Easter season that began on March 1st with Ash Wednesday and ran all the way through June 4th. So we moved into ordinary time, and we'll be in ordinary time until December 3rd, the first Sunday of Advent, when the Christmas cycle starts. Now, some of you might be saying, if we're in ordinary time, then where are the green vestments? I did not forget. The first two Sundays of ordinary time are rather interesting, let's say. We're out of the Easter season, but there are major solemnities of the church. Today, it's the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Next Sunday, the solemnity of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Christ. And since they are solemnities, the white or the golden vestments are used to indicate the level of celebration that's going on. And of course, here at Trinity, it's doubly important because this is the day that is the feast of the title of the parish, Holy Trinity, the titular feast of our parish. Now, when we think about the Holy Trinity, sometimes the readings are helpful and sometimes they aren't, because the Trinity, as maybe it's now thought of, was not necessarily thought of in that way when the New Testament was written. But that second reading is very interesting because it talks about the Trinity in an interesting way. And it's important to listen to what this first generation of Christians thought as we move from Pentecost into spreading the word throughout the world. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." That should sound familiar. That's the greeting that you hear every Sunday, right? But listen to how it works. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on their experience. What has their most recent experience been? The experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace of that experience. And the love of God, the love of God the Father that was made known to them through the experience of Jesus. And then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Their experience as community after the departure of Jesus was that God was still somehow present among them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What's important to understand about the Trinity is that it's first and foremost grounded in people's experience of God. God the Father, of God as transcendent. God the Son, as Jesus who comes to us and gives himself to us. God as Spirit who continues that presence among us. So we have the experience of these first communities of Christians. We have our own experience. And, of course, what we want to do is somehow translate that into words so we can understand it somehow more comprehensively. So for centuries and centuries, theologians have been trying to do that, not to much success, shall we say. But theologians don't only write in words. Theologians also write in things like stained glass. In the Middle Ages, the windows of the cathedrals were made of the stories of the New and the Old Testament, so people who couldn't read could see the pictures there. We don't have that same kind of thing. This is more kind of stained glass as tapestry. But we do have one window that's very important for today. So at this point, Nancy and Jocelyn, can you help me? And we're going to take a look at this window at the back of the church, which, if you haven't noticed, it's brighter than it's ever been before. All the windows now, having been restored, except for the two round ones up there, are much brighter than before. And this one in particular, appropriately, on the Feast of the Holy Trinity. So there's a design up there. There's a story there that tells us something about the Trinity. Nancy, what's right in the center of all of it?
Deus,
all right? In the center of the circle is Deus, God, appropriate place for God to be, in the center. And Jocelyn, you can see there are three circles around it. Pick anyone.
Pater,
Father. Father is part of this constellation that moves around God. And Nancy, another one.
Spiritus Sanctus.
Spiritus Sanctus, Holy Spirit. And the final one, Jocelyn?
Filius,
Son. So God is in the center, and around that are Father, Spirit, and Son. There's more to the diagram there. There are little lines connecting things. So, Nancy, what connects Deus to Pater?
No,
Deus to Pater?
Sorry, what about that?
Est in Latin is the Father is God. And Jocelyn, what are those other two legs like that say? Yeah. Est. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So far pretty simple, all right. Now, Nancy, what about connection between Filius and Pater?
Non est.
It is not. The Son is not the Father, and that continues around that the Father is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Son. Thank you, window readers. So we've got a diagram there of what theologians think the Trinity might be like, that there is one God, there are three persons, there are connections, but separation between them too. If you notice in the windows also, at the very top, there's a little circle with what in the sense are almost theological tattoos up there. And I am going to be asking the people in the balcony, yes, you are getting called on, up in the upper corner there, yes, look at the window up there, and in that little round window, what do you see? Pardon? Deus, all right, but there are two geometric figures there. What surrounds Deus? A triangle and a circle. Thank you very much. You've learned not to sit in the balcony because you're going to get called on, huh? A circle and a triangle, and they're interlocked. A circle, unity, and then the triangle, the three persons. All of this is interesting. It can be theologically satisfying, but there's a danger here. There's a danger that we begin to see the Trinity as some kind of puzzle to be solved, some kind of diagram that we can put on paper, and once we know that diagram, we know what God is. And of course, if we did that, we would be gods and have no need for gods. The Trinity is not a puzzle to be worked out, not something to be solved, but it is a mystery. The mystery of the experience of God, which has been experienced in different ways throughout the centuries, but somehow relates to these three persons of the transcendent Father, the immanent Son, and the Spirit that continues to be with us. In the Gospel today, we hear about that relationship of the Father and the Son. The Spirit doesn't really get into that reading. But in that first reading, it's very interesting, isn't it? You kind of think, what does Moses on Mount Sinai have to do with this Trinitarian God, three persons in one God? It's on Sinai. Moses goes up with his two tablets to have the law inscribed, and the Lord appears to Moses. The transcendent God becomes immanent. God the Father, in a sense, is acting like God the Son. And Moses has the chutzpah to ask him, if I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. If I find favor with you, Lord, do come along in our company. Do come along in our company. At the heart, that's what the Trinity is about. It is how the Lord comes along in our company in many different ways, at least three different ways that people have experienced. But first and foremost, it is about a God who comes to us and accompanies us on the way. And what is it like when that God accompanies us? Paul writes about in the second reading. Encourage one another, agree with one another, and live in peace. And then you know that the Trinity is accompanying us. So at the heart, the Trinity, like most human experience, is mystery and not a puzzle. How appropriate that this parish is named Holy Trinity, a mystery and not a puzzle, huh? And that mystery travels with us. I think the words of Moses sum up the heart of what we celebrate today. If we find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company.